SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFCA. New week begins on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, a weekend in football with a lot of drama in Knoxville, Tennessee. A story that we discussed on Friday reached its ultimate conclusion on Saturday, with still some voids to be filled, both for the Volunteers and for Nico Iamaleava. We will do all of that here on this Monday on Football Full Circle. NFL news and notes as well, just about a week and a half away from the 2025 NFL Draft. Plenty to detail here on this Monday on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, and very intriguing circumstances as it relates to the college game. We're front and center stage again, but not for the right reasons, Ben. We had spring practice and spring games over the weekend, and it's a drama that unfolded in terms of Knoxville. Other reports now circulating about the developing story about Nico, his family, and how it played out, potentially even in the college football semifinal playoff loss to the defending champion of the Ohio State Buckeyes. So we'll see what transpires, but it's not good for college football moving forward. And we have to see now how some of these programs, tackle on this situation of NIL and booster money, because top-ranked players now are potentially holding out in some of the biggest games of the college football season, Ben.
So we'll get to the reports and what is being stated. We'll start with what we know. By the way, sorry, that was my metallic water bottle hitting the floor. My apologies here in studio. As Joe and I detailed on Friday, a stunning development to reports that starting quarterback for Tennessee, Nico Iamaleava, was renegotiating, looking for a new and improved NIL deal with Tennessee, following, of course, a 2024 season that resulted in a college football playoff bid. That on Friday, Joe, basically when we hit the air here on Sports Grid Radio, reports out of Knoxville that Iamaleava had missed Friday's spring practice ahead of Saturday's spring game for Tennessee, and that shocked the Tennessee coaching staff, putting his status as the Vols starting quarterback very much up in the air. And then early on Saturday, Joe, ahead of that spring game for the Vols, we got the news that Josh Heupel had basically said enough is enough. Tennessee deciding to move on and part ways with its starting quarterback. A stunning development and a change, Joe, for an ever-evolving landscape that is college sports and specifically college football at this moment. So Tennessee moves on from Nico Iamaleava. Let's start with that decision right there by Josh Heupel, his football staff, and everything in Knoxville. Do you think it was the correct decision for Tennessee's perspective?
Absolutely. Again, if you're Josh Heupel, and I understand, you know, college coaches bounce, but you really have to rein in your program to really stop this, because at the end of the day, you're trying to win an SEC championship, you're trying to get to the college football playoff, and the ultimate goal is to win a national championship. And if you're starting quarterback and one of your key players is checked out or doesn't have his eye on the prize in terms of a national championship, how could you move forward being in limbo and having one player potentially handcuff the whole organization or school? It doesn't play out for both sides. If Nico and his family didn't want to be in Knoxville, that's all well and good, but don't hold the school hostage throughout the regular season and potentially, you know, maybe, you know, in terms of the biggest game, maybe in October or November, or in this case, January. So again, it's the right decision. Hopefully more players and schools learn from this situation, and maybe we can rein this in and limit this, because it's not good for college football. It's not good for the product, Ben. And it's only, I'm sorry to say, I think it's only going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, it is a really interesting thing, Joe, because a lot of people on Saturday then decided, okay, what is next? What does this mean for Tennessee? What does it mean for Nico? But maybe more importantly, what does it mean for this changing landscape in college football as a whole? Joe, as we shared on Friday, basically every offseason now, whether it's conference realignment, transfer portal, name, image, likeness, and soon this summer revenue sharing directly between school and player, we have some new development that we had not seen previously in college football, where we are basically unpacking 100-plus years of college sports history with developments that have changed so rapidly in the last 4 to 5 years. Everything is stunning, everything is shocking, and everything feels very, very new. And of course, people are rather hesitant to change, especially when it happens in such a swift manner. Now, specifically for what we are seeing here in Knoxville, I commend Josh Heupel. I commend Tennessee for taking a stand because, Joe, in this player movement and player agency era, I do believe that when it comes to contract negotiations, really the leverage, the power is on behalf of the player and their representations, as we shared at length on Friday. This is not professional sports. This is not free agency at that level. We don't even have standardized agreements. We don't have contracts. There's no financial penalty for Nico Iamaleava to enter the transfer portal. He doesn't have to pay back Tennessee's booster collective a certain amount of money for breaking his contract because there really isn't one. And that is one of the issues. No guardrails in place to protect player or, in this case, booster collective. It's not even vengeful coaches that can be selfish and leave at the drop of a hat because then a payout back to the university, back to the athletic department needs to be had. We don't have that in terms of NIL deals, and they're not even really name, image, and likeness. Let's call a spade, it's pay for play. So will this be an inflection point? We shall see. But I do really respect Tennessee, and we heard from Josh Heupel after Tennessee's spring game inside Neyland Stadium on Saturday afternoon. He told his team, rallying around this moment, nobody here, including myself, Josh Heupel referring to himself, nobody here, including the head coach, is more important than the program, is more important than that block T. And I think, Lisey Guy, just working with you often when it comes to conversations like this, you are a man that loves the purity of this sport, that loves the product that is college football, but in the last few years has not exactly liked the off-the-field stuff as it pertains to collegiate sports. And I think part of it, Joe, at the end of the day is sacrificing the actual product and the game for all of the other things that come with it. So I think for Josh Heupel and his program to take that stand that nobody, not even our starting quarterback for a college football playoff team, is bigger than said program, is bigger than the Block T, is bigger than the history of Volunteers football, I do really commend.
I do as well. And again, they put their foot down and you know, it hurts. You know, this is not coming with a cost, right? Meaning there is a cost associated with this. Now you have to work with a second and potentially third stringer, a new offensive, you know, talent that you have to then have 5 or 6 months to get ready for your week one matchup in terms of this type of landscape or for Josh Heupel to potentially move forward and get his team unified and build out all those. What is that message sent to the recruits too? You're recruiting these high school kids, right? Come to Knoxville in 2025 and 2026. And if they see the starting quarterback hold this school and university hostage, right, just the way Aaron Rodgers is doing on the NFL side to the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? I had to sprinkle that in. Does that really show? That shows that the player is bigger than the school and the program, right, and that you just can't have that. It's one thing. NIL is great, and we all believe that the players should be paid for name, image, and likeness. That is not what this is. This is pay for play, and it's the Wild West, and until a program steps down like Tennessee, it's only going to get worse, but it's just a start, Ben.
So we'll talk about that up next. Is this a wake-up call for college football? Is it an inflection point? Is it the start of things that we will see far more frequently? We'll have that conversation up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Huge story on Saturday in college football out of Knoxville. Nico Iamaleava, the starting quarterback for the Volunteers a season ago, leading Tennessee to a college football playoff appearance, is no longer the starting quarterback in Knoxville. The Volunteers, led by head coach Josh Heupel, deciding to move on from Iamaleava, who was renegotiating, or at least attempting to renegotiate, an NIL deal with Tennessee's NIL collective. Lazy guy, as we just discussed, we kind of laid out the facts of the case, if you will, in that opening segment. Now I think we take that conversation a step further. Is this a true indication of what we are going to see more frequently in college football? Will other quarterbacks, will other big-name players attempt to do something of the sort? Is Tennessee taking a stand and basically saying, nobody is bigger than the program, and we will not be held hostage by a player and his representation? Will that benefit college football programs and maybe slow things down in the wild, wild west that NIL has become in college sports? What do you think of it as, Lisi guy? An inflection point that brings us closer to normality? Is it a wake-up call for college sports? Is it the start of what we are going to see much more often in college football?
I think it is a wake-up call that, you know, the proponents and the backers of all the expanded playoff and everything is good for football and college football and it's not going to affect the game and the pay for play is just, you know, they've been paid for years, so now it's just out in the open. I think it is a wake-up call to see about the possible scenarios because, you know, before this situation, it was only the bowl games and meaningless bowl games. Yeah. And now we see a situation, potentially, if the reports are true, where Nico, and it's not just Nico, right? Teammates were potentially holding out in the game against Ohio State. Right. And that was a semifinal playoff game where they got absolutely boat raced by the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. So this is a bigger situation. Is it just one guy? Probably not. And I'll take it a step further. Yes, it is an inflection point. It is a wake-up call. But let's not forget, this isn't Arch Manning either. And what I'm saying is Nico's an average quarterback. You know, he's the starter at Tennessee, but we're not talking about a potential, you know, number one draft pick or top five talent. You know, there's no telling what potentially that type of player, and I'm not suggesting Arch, I'm just using him as an example in terms of a top talent returning for 2025. What if it's a star player on, you know, Notre Dame or Georgia or Ohio State? What happens in that situation as opposed to what transpired in Knoxville?
I hear you based on body of work, and we talked about the actual stat profile for Nico Iamaleava in his first full year as the starting quarterback for Tennessee. Now, the idea, though, Joe, the prospect of Iamaleava and what he could do in a second full year under Josh Heupel in that Tennessee offense had very high expectations. We talked about the Vols' win total of 9.5 being the fourth best number in the SEC, certainly in contention once again to not maybe just win a conference crown, but be a college football playoff team. We'll talk about the odds on the other side of the break, right? The more minute football details of this. I think your point, though, is this an inflection? Is it a wake-up call? I would say yes. But there's nothing that will be put into action, right? No justification, no legislation to support Tennessee. In fact, the Volunteers have fought against the NCAA. The state of Tennessee has fought against the NCAA to back Nico Iamaleava a time or two. There's nothing that will be passed down. No guideline, no new law, no new, you know, code of ethics or whatever that allows other schools to do what the Volunteers did to back up what Josh Heupel has decided to do. It'll be, as it has been, a program-to-program basis for a coach that, let's face it, Joe, needs to make a difficult decision. Iamaleava was mediocre in his first year as the Volunteers quarterback. But now Josh Heupel ends spring ball without a tried-and-true starting quarterback for a team that has high expectation, double-digit wins, trying to be an SEC contender, trying to be a college football playoff team. That doesn't necessarily, from a football perspective, losing your starting quarterback, a returning starting quarterback in a prime position from the football sense, to be successful in 2025. Joe is also referencing a clip from Josh Pate, his show, the Pate Football Show. Of course, as we know, one of the premier voices in college football that has really started to circulate from last night. That Josh Pate, with his sources, with his inside knowledge, was basically saying that the powers that be in college football, the talking head, media members, whatever it might be, who said, listen, if you expand the college football playoff, it will incentivize participation. It will keep programs involved through the entirety of the year. It is one of the meaningful things that can happen with college football playoff expansion. For those people who said, listen, you only get opt-outs in bowl games. You won't see that in the college football playoff. Josh Pate was saying that based on his knowledge, that Nico, among many others, not just the Amaleava at Tennessee, but among our 12 college football playoff teams, them or the representation were going back and saying, listen, I signed on for a 12-game season. I have now led you to a conference championship or a college football playoff spot. You need to pay me more. I need incentives to be bolstered into whatever this monetary agreement is. Which, of course, Joe, is a really nasty sign for the importance of the actual product of college football versus just the financial aspect. And if that is happening, that is not for the betterment of college football.
No, it's not. And again, then it's the players holding the program hostage without the team mentality being the first and foremost aspect of the game and them trying to win a national championship. And when, you know, we're not talking about UAB or you know, Coastal Carolina. We're talking about the University of Tennessee, which is, you know, looks at itself like a blue blood, even though potentially it's not, but has aspirations, you know, to make a college football playoff each and every year. You can't have that. It's unfortunate, but this is where we're at right now.
We'll tie a bow on this up next, and we'll put it in the football sense before we transition to NFL news and notes. Some big news around Derek Carr, what might it mean for the 2025 NFL draft, and a signing in Chicago. All of that next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So we're talking about the Nico Iamaleava situation. Tennessee takes a stand and moves on from its starting quarterback at the end of spring practice. Now the spring transfer portal window opens up on Wednesday. We'll talk about what that means from a football perspective in just a moment. Joe, I've asked you the question. I think it's the natural follow-up for many that love this sport, this unique product that is college football. Is this a sign of the times? Is this going to happen? Is it going to continue to happen? Or will Tennessee, taking its stand, provide that wake-up call? I remain hesitant because we have seen inflection points in wake-up calls before, and yet it continues to be a circus and a chaos in college sports, in the NIL, in transfer portal era. What I will say, though, Joe, is I almost think that we are continuing to see stunning developments that we never really thought would be the case in this era. All right, name, image, and likeness opens up. Players can start to be profitable based on their name, image, and likeness. It quickly became more of a system that is pay for play. That's not great. There's no guardrails or restrictions to keep us really from the wild, wild west it has become. All right, but if players sign an NIL deal, they'll be loyal. Not so much, but it's only going to happen in the offseason. We only will see this stuff in the winter and in the early spring. Oh, wait, there's a spring transfer portal window so that after spring ball you can get poached? That's not great, but again, it's still just April and May, not even before summer workouts. By the time we get into fall camp, nothing's going to happen. Certainly not by the time we get to the season. UNLV's Matthew Sluka, after a dream start for the Rebs, hits the transfer portal in the middle of a season. Well, it would never occur for a college football playoff contender, maybe bowl game opt-outs. We're getting reports that this did in fact occur between Iamaleava and a bunch of other schools and their stars, leading to what we are seeing here. Joe, I think it is the sad reality that as change happens all around the sport of college football, we are going to see new developments, and yet it's difficult to accept change. It's 100-plus years of an old system that has been broken down to the very bare bones, and now in the last 4 to 5 years, such swift and swift shifts, if you will, that the fans are kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, again, what does this mean? You know, does it affect viewership? Does it affect, you know, the game itself? Are some people turned off? I'm sure there are. You know, there, you know, outside the diehards, I'm sure there's the casual fan saying, you know, this is ridiculous now. And you know, I don't even want to watch it. We'll see. You know, we'll see where the numbers are. The national championship game didn't come close to anywhere near the numbers that it did just a few years ago when it was Alabama and Georgia, right? So we'll see, Ben. You know, you look at Sluka, too, that situation. He goes from UNLV, I believe he signed on at JMU, right? Didn't he, you know, you talk about a step down for Sluka. Yeah, I think so. He went, but some of these guys, you know, it is a change in the times as it relates to these players. I keep saying it. It's the tip of the iceberg because now we're just hearing about it, right? We don't know certain situations. This isn't the NFL where everything is basically out in the open and they have to do it. There's no rules in place. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes at some of these programs. All of a sudden, star running back is out. Why is he out? No, it wasn't no injury reports. Nothing's going on. All of a sudden, the guy doesn't play. Is he injured? He might be holding out for more money. We don't know. The NCAA, the programs need to have a fail-safe in place. They haven't done it. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, it's only going to get worse. You're going to see more and more players do this. And again, if Nico was Arch Manning, then you know what? He has the cards because Arch and some of these five-star guys are wanted by multiple programs. That's the difference between Nico, I want to say maybe an above-average quarterback, as opposed to an elite player in college sports.
So now let's talk about the football perspective. Nico Iamaleava had a 16-1 price to win the Heisman Trophy on Friday, one of the 10 best numbers in college football. It is still 20-1 to win the Heisman Trophy, 10th best number in college football right now. Because although, Joe, this is probably not the greatest statement on Iamaleava as a teammate, as a quarterback, as a leader, somebody will pay for that talent. We'll see exactly what the payment is and what that next school is. We talked about the Volunteers' win total for 2025 on Friday being 9.5. That number is dropped already by a full game to 8.5. And the Vols now are left to pick up the pieces, trying to find a new starting quarterback in the middle of April. More on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Now the football perspective of the big news this week in college football out of Tennessee. Nico Iamaleava is no longer the starting quarterback for Josh Heupel and his Volunteers. Where does it leave the Vols? What is Iamaleava's future now in CFB? Joe, let's start with Tennessee. I think they got a lot of correct praise on Saturday for making the decision that nobody, not even our starting quarterback, is going to hold us hostage, that no player or coach individually is bigger than a program. I think a lot of people were siding with Tennessee, believing that Josh Heupel made that correct decision. But Joe, just because it might be a righteous cause does not necessarily make it an easy one for the Vols. If you would ask Josh Heupel right now or 2 months ago, hey, your starting quarterback is returning, how do you feel? He'd say optimistic, ready to build on last season a college football playoff berth and excited for the future. Well, now Josh Heupel is left to deal with guys he did not expect to be the starting quarterback and only two scholarship QBs on the roster. Joe, when you look at Tennessee's depth chart right now, redshirt freshman Jake Merklinger is going to more than likely be slotted into that number one. And true freshman George McIntyre from just outside of Nashville, who threw a dime on Saturday during Tennessee's spring game to a large ovation inside Neyland Stadium. Those are the two guys. Tennessee's not in a great spot just because they made the correct or righteous decision. They're left, Joe, picking up the scraps for a starting quarterback spot for a team expected to contend for the SEC in the college football playoff. Again, a very precarious position to be in as well.
Yeah, and when you have inexperience at the quarterback position, it puts a lot of pressure, right? Merklinger is a redshirt freshman and McIntyre a true freshman, right? So you have very inexperienced quarterbacks going into potentially a very difficult schedule, road environments in the SEC, mm-hmm. not easy. And again, right now, unless they get another transfer to come into Knoxville, I would pound that 8.5. That's just me, though, Ben. You know, I mean, yeah. What are they going to do? I mean, look, they lose Dylan Sampson. They lose Nico. They lose, you know, defensive talent like Pierce. What does that mean for this team as a whole? What's the foundation of this team? You thought last year they were motivated and together as a unit. It's yeah. obviously not what we're hearing in terms of some of the reports. So 8.5 seems like a high total to me. You know, I like Josh Heupel as a coach. I think he's got a great offensive mind. I think he can maybe pick up these pieces, but he's up against it now. He made the right decision for Nico for the benefit of his program, but it's unfortunate, in my opinion, he won't see those yeah. results to potentially 2 or 3 seasons out now.
And that's the issue, right, Joe? It's the rah-rah, yes, Tennessee, way to stand up for your program, way to stand up for all that is right in this sport, and they're still left to say, well, okay, but who's going to play quarterback for us in 2025 in the SEC? That remains to be seen. Now, Joe, for Nico Iamaleava, of course, this is not a great look for his role as a teammate, as a team leader, as a starting quarterback. And although he was rather mediocre, average to above average, in his first full year as a starter in Knoxville, he has talent. And he is going to be a quarterback that, when he enters the spring transfer portal on Wednesday, garners attention. Now, I think there would be the natural thought of, well, teams should be very hesitant to believe in this guy. But as we see in any level of sport, despite what your off-field issues might be, if you can sling it, you're going to get some attention and some teams that have some interest. Lisa, guys, some names that have already been tied to Nico Iamaleava: Bill Belichick in North Carolina. UCLA could be in the market as well. Where do you believe, if at any program, Iamaleava ends up, maybe by the end of this week?
Yeah, I mean, well, let's keep in mind, I also heard Notre Dame and Oregon potentially in the mix. It's got to be for the money. It's got to be a major program. Does North Carolina have that type of, you know, cachet at this point with Belichick? It's possible. You know, you said it. You know, if you could sling it, you have an opportunity, right? I'll take it a step further. Sling it and sell it, right? Because I'm sure Nico's going to whatever team, you know, he's visiting right now and saying, oh, you know, this happened, that happened. You know, they promised me this. They said this. It wasn't the right scheme. I was told I was going to chuck it, you know, 40 times a game, and we were run heavy offense. So, you know, how hard can Nico and his family sell it to whoever's willing to listen? Is Notre Dame an option? I mean, I think Notre Dame would be a good fit for Nico. Why? Because they rely on defense and they rely on, you know, running the football first and foremost. Again, I see either Notre Dame, Oregon, who else? I don't think anybody in the SEC would take a shot. I'd be shocked if somebody within the conference does, but we'll see.
So that's a part of it as well, Joe, based on SEC to SEC transfer protocol. If Nico Iamaleava were to join another SEC program in this spring transfer portal window, he would have to sit out a year. He would need to go to another conference to be immediately eligible for 2025. You know that will be a thought. As for Notre Dame, Steve Angeli, who we saw play in the college football playoff, is their presumed starter right now. I think Oregon is set with Dante Moore. I don't think they want to wade into these waters. At North Carolina, a little bit of a different story. Might Bill Belichick looking to make a splash in his first year take this on? And Joe, from the odds perspective, the Volunteers' win total was 9.5. The under had the juice on Friday at minus 156. It has dropped by a full win. 8.5. Under still has the juice. The Vols had the fourth best price to win the SEC around plus 850. It is now 16-1 on Tennessee. But for Nico Iamaleava, again, a 16-1 price to win the Heisman Trophy before the weekend, it's still only 20-1. It's the 10th best number. Again, the projection, the prospect still remains rather optimistic for him as a quarterback. And why, Joe? I think somebody will take a shot on him, even if they do have the right to be cautious.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm looking at some of the teams. I think an ACC team would be in the mix. Would Clemson be in the mix? I know with Klubnik, but, you know, you talk about Miami and Carson Beck in that situation. I mean, you know, it's crazy. North Carolina's win total, Ben, is 7.5, and it's juiced now to the under at minus 115. I mean, again, could he elevate that program to 9 wins?
Sure.
It's possible, right? With Bill Belichick, you need a veteran to understand the scheme. And it seems like his girlfriend is potentially on the sidelines making some calls as well, if you saw the video that played out over the weekend.
I did, and I do, and we know that Jordan is involved. A 20-1 number on USC right now to win the ACC title in Belichick's debut year, not only in Chapel Hill, but in college football. You would have to think that number grows substantially shorter if, and it's still a very large if, Iamaleava makes his way to Chapel Hill. All right, Joe, as we transition out of the National Football League, some really sad news yesterday from the NFL or college football perspective. Former LSU star wide receiver Kyren Lacy was found dead via an apparent suicide on Sunday morning or late Saturday night. Very, very sad news for the former LSU wide receiver who earlier this offseason was charged with negligent homicide as he was involved in a car accident, Joe. But still very, very sad for Kyren Lacy, for the LSU football family. A prominent draft prospect entering the college football season in 2024 was found dead by authorities late Saturday night.
Yeah, sad circumstances. We know about the off-the-field issue that happened right at the end of the regular season. And, you know, during the Super Bowl, I have a lot of contacts down in Baton Rouge, and they had said that, you know, there was some positive information potentially that could come out of this grand jury and this investigation. And it's unfortunate that Kyren Lacy couldn't wait for that. He took his own life. Sad. We wish the family, you know, our condolences, and just hate to see these situations play out.
Very, very unfortunate. More on Football Full Circle comes your way on the other side of the break. We will talk more news around the National Football League up next here on FFC and Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, a week and a half away from the 2025 NFL Draft. And Joe, an interesting report came out on Friday afternoon about Saints starting quarterback Derek Carr. Of course, there was some conversation entering this new era in New Orleans, now led by first-time head coach Kellen Moore. Would Derek Carr be the starter? Would he be what the Saints are looking for at the quarterback spot in 2025 and beyond? He is under contract in New Orleans through 2026. Joe, there were some reports that based on a joint AC sprain that Carr suffered in the 2023 NFL season and really did not have any lingering issues with in 2024, that shoulder injury was causing some concern this offseason. The Saints start their offseason program under rookie head coach Kellen Moore today. And Joe, as the report states, some of the 2025 season and the status for Derek Carr now a little bit up in the air. That is very intriguing, especially given where the Saints are drafting 9th overall in 10 days from now in Green Bay.
Yeah, and are they more now aggressive based off the report of where Derek Carr is? Maybe they were content in terms of sitting number 9 overall, but based off the situation where Carr might not be available for half the year, full year, or, you know, let's say first half of the season, are they going to pull the trigger to move up into the top five or maybe even into the top two? I mean, that's what we have to see right now. And again, I think these odds in terms of the top three picks are still in play for potentially Shedeur Sanders. We'll see exactly how New Orleans attacks it. But I think you have to be, you know, out there and cognizant of the fact that now New Orleans potentially is in a race with Pittsburgh to get Shedeur Sanders at this point.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, Joe, as more betting markets have become available here just about 10 days away from the 2025 NFL Draft. Now, we have shared the numbers on the team to draft Shedeur Sanders for quite some time. We talked about a lot of movement in favor of the Pittsburgh Steelers in a number that I had bet on. Well, the Saints were always the favorites to draft Shedeur Sanders. That price was closer to plus 270. After this news around Derek Carr, for the Saints to draft Shedeur Sanders is very close to even money, plus 105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe, we have shared the odds to be a top five pick. Shedeur Sanders still at just plus 230, but the odds are now out to be a top 10 selection. Shedeur Sanders in minus money at minus 210. All of those markets in congruency would allow you to believe that New Orleans could be aggressive and draft Shedeur Sanders ninth overall. It also just makes common logistical sense, right? New head coach, rookie head coach, known for his offensive excellence, drafts a rookie quarterback. The two pair together, a long partnership to be had. And unlike some of the other teams, Joe, that we have highlighted that are QB needy, right? Outside of the Tennessee Titans, who are going to draft Cam Ward, it appears, the Browns have made some moves, at least in the acquisition of Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. The Giants have signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. The Raiders have signed or traded for and extended Geno Smith. Derek Carr might be the guy right now in the Big Easy, but that contract is not like they just extended him this offseason or last offseason. When they brought him over after Las Vegas got rid of him, they gave him a new deal that does tie him to the franchise through 2026. And there's a lot of cap money that has to be owed to Derek Carr. But it's not like, Joe, this just happened and would make drafting a quarterback at ninth overall revolutionary by any means.
No, not at all. And you're absolutely right, is that, you know, Derek Carr plateaued, right? You know what you get with Derek Carr. You can only potentially get to a certain level with him at the helm. And it makes sense for Kellen Moore and the organization to draft a young quarterback that could elevate the organization to challenge not just for an NFC West champion, NFC South championship, but an NFC championship overall, right? And get to the Super Bowl like Drew Brees did. Again, they thought they had some upside with Spencer Rattler. We'll see potentially what transpires in the new scheme, but he wasn't the answer last year either. Yeah. So now you have the opportunity to take at least a top 10 talent, whether it be Shedeur or somebody else that you value. You have that option. Don't screw it up. And now are you more aggressive to potentially get into the top five to make sure that you get Shedeur ahead of Pittsburgh? That's what we'll see play out over the next 10 days.
Joe, on Thursday, we could officially call it 2025 NFL Draft Week, right? 1 week out from the draft, where we stand right now, 1 week and some change. Still, all 32 NFL franchises hold on to their originally scheduled first-round pick. That includes New Orleans. That includes Pittsburgh at 21st overall. Another new market, Lisi guy, that has opened up is to be a first-round pick. And you can find a couple of names there that are interesting. Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, minus 1,100 to be a first-round pick. With Ashton Jeanty favored to go to the Raiders at sixth overall, well, that would tell you we're at least seeing multiple running backs in the first round. And we expect to see multiple quarterbacks more than likely in the top 10. But how about a third QB? That has been the question. Who has the seventh best price and in pretty hefty minus money to be a first round pick? Ole Miss's Jackson Dart at minus 320. Joe, if you were to follow those odds with how heavily favored that number is, we would expect Jackson Dart to be a first-round selection. And really, once you get past the Saints at number nine, You got to get all the way to the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 21 for even a team you would consider using a first-round pick this year on a quarterback. The odds makers are thinking that we see three quarterbacks in the first round in just over a week.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we'll see, right? You know, we've always been on this clock and say, you know, teams will reach up if there's a question mark or an uncertainty. Better to get the 50-year option out of the rookie guy and the QB, right, than anybody else if you think he could potentially have some upside, right? Well, you know, the Ravens did it with Lamar Jackson. Look at how that played out at number 32 overall. We'll see if Jackson Dart is the guy.
Well, you will see if that is the case. By the way, another player that accepted an invitation to Green Bay to be a part of the NFL draft, Alabama's QB and Jalen Milroe, a plus 125 price for the former Crimson Tide signal caller. We'll discuss even further up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Joe, in the countdown to the 2025 NFL Draft, plenty more odds markets available for our opening round a week from Thursday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. One, it's fun because there's more wagers to be had and bets to be won. But two, it also paints a better picture of what we can expect on the opening night in round number one. For a long time, we had just the number one overall pick odds, number two overall pick, number three overall pick. Now we have everybody in the top five. Fourth overall pick odds in fifth overall pick odds. Of course, Joe, nobody has traded a draft selection yet. So at fourth overall, it's the New England Patriots. Fifth overall, the Jacksonville Jaguars. To go fourth overall, the LSU left tackle and blind sign blocker, Will Campbell, is a minus 170 favorite. Joe, for a while, after a dazzling combine performance out of Missouri's Armon Membu, he was thought of to be the favorite to be the first O-lineman drafted. It is now Will Campbell in front of Membu, which makes me very happy because when I was in the Great Garden State just two weekends ago, I believed in Campbell and I bet him at a minus 110 price. Membu was minus 120 on Will Campbell to be that first O-lineman off the board. The odds are kind of shaping up for that to be the case.
Yeah, and again, we talk about Will Campbell throughout most of the regular season. At one point, I think through November or late October, he didn't allow a sack on Garrett Nussmeier, right? So that's what you want. He's an elite pass blocker. He's strong, a weight room type of guy. You know, bench press 225, I believe 28 total times. Just second best in terms of the NFL draft for offensive linemen. So that's what you want to see. Campbell is an elite blocking type of talent. So it's going to come down to what team believes he has the best technique. But, you know, and I know the arm size and arm length is going to be a factor, but I still think he's the best left tackle. We'll see.
Yep, I would agree, Joe. He's a minus 170 favorite. That is Campbell to go fourth overall right now. Fifth overall, also a slight minus money favorite. That would be the interior defensive lineman out of Michigan, a game wrecker from the interior in Mason Graham, minus 160. Of course, the Jags, a new head coach. That's Liam Cohen, hoping to reinvigorate what Trevor Lawrence can do at the quarterback spot. So that's pretty much taken care of. Might they add defensively first and foremost? Mason Graham out of Michigan, minus 160 to be that fifth overall selection.
You know, they're getting rid of Evan Engram, right? Do they take a shot? And I'm not saying, look, Liam Cohen's an offensive mind, right? And we saw, you know, his ability to, you know, out game play. Do they take a shot? And I'm not suggesting, we just seen tight ends. Like, you know, we saw Kyle Pitts go fourth or fifth overall to Atlanta a few years ago. Ty Warren? Is Ty Warren potentially number six outside of Mason Graham? Look, I know Mason Graham is a run stuffer. He's a main cog in terms of the middle, big body, and they need all the help they can get. But Liam Cohen's still an offensive mind, and losing Christian Kirk and obviously Engram, do they pull a trigger on a versatile tight end in the top 10?
You know, it's interesting, Joe. If it's not there at number five overall, and I don't think it will be, I think if it's not Mason Graham, then you might see Armon Membu go as they try to just protect their most prized asset in Trevor Lawrence, who has dealt with some injuries these last 2 years of his National Football League career. You really start to get a picture with the top 10 draft odds of who is likely to be a top 10 selection, where things might go from there. Ashton Jeanty, minus 1350 to be a top 10 pick. The Raiders are the odds-on favorite at sixth overall to draft Jeanty. Jalen Walker, the outstanding edge rusher out of Georgia. We know how good being a Georgia D lineman has fared the last few years, both collegiately and as it translates to the NFL, minus 750 to be a top 10 pick. Will Campbell, minus 430. Armon Membu, if he is not the first O-lineman gone, Joe, will probably be a top 10 pick at minus 270. We talked about Shador Sanders. And then that brings us to Tyler Warren at minus 180. He is the sixth and final player, as the odds market see it, Joe, to be a top 10 pick with a minus money price. That would basically be the top 10 as we look at it when you include Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter. 1, 2, 3. That's interesting. If Tyler Warren is a top 10 pick, and where might exactly he go?
Yeah, it's crazy. We'll see. He's a dynamic talent. Somebody will take a shot. But if what a difference a year makes. Last year at this time, it was Williams and Pierce, potentially 1 and 2 overall. Where are they now?
Good point, Lisi guy. Good point. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.